The scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew Bible, Psalm 90, 14 to 17. Fill us each morning with your constant love so that we may sing and be glad all our life. Give us now as much happiness as the sadness you gave us during our years of misery. Let us, your servants, see your mighty deeds. Let our descendants see your glorious night. Lord our God, may your blessings be with us. Give us success in all we do.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. So he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink with the weight of the fish. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Bible study at Park Avenue is always a rich and interesting time. We discuss the context and the culture and the history of what's going on in the scripture, and we bring our own insights to it. And the thing I think I love most about it is that you never know where it is going to lead. Well, this past Wednesday, we ended up in a very interesting place during Bible study. We spent a good chunk of our time discussing whether Jesus was a cult leader. Whether Jesus was a cult leader. I mean, this is a charismatic guy preaching some wild doctrine and using a lot of end times language and some strange rituals. And as we saw in today's scripture, his followers often made a complete break with their old lives and left behind important relationships to go and follow him. That is a classic sign of cults. We ended up deciding that Jesus is not a cult leader for multiple reasons, but mainly because we know from our own experience here at Park Avenue how life-giving it can be to be a part of a Christian community trying to follow in Jesus's footsteps. And although it may seem otherwise to cult members, in the end, cults are anything but life-giving. But here's a piece of that uniquely interesting Bible study conversation I want to talk about today. What must it have been like to indeed leave everything behind to follow this itinerant preacher? What must it have been like for Simon and his brother Andrew and their friends James and John to walk away from their nets, from the rest of their families, from their hometown, and follow a man whose love and life and teachings would change everything? I was talking this week with my spiritual director, which is kind of like a therapist for your soul. I was talking with her about my tendency to act like my faith is a test in being virtuous enough, of doing enough of the right things, or sometimes an exercise in shaming or judging myself when I don't measure up. Maybe you're familiar with what that looks like. There are a lot of shoulds and guilt involved. Ugh, I should have prayed more today. I should be more generous because there's so many hungry and homeless people in our community and in our world. I should be less judgmental of the loved ones who get on my nerves, or I should be doing more to dismantle racism. I should be calling everyone in the congregation whom I know is in need, even though right now that is not physically possible. It never occurs to me to judge other people's faith that way, but for some reason, I certainly see myself in that light more often than I would like. Kathleen, my spiritual director and a gem of a wise woman, gently reminded me that in scripture, Jesus doesn't have the time of day for moralist checklists or virtue report cards. He calls out hypocrisy and abuse and challenges us to do better, yes, but the way he goes about it isn't a demand that we hit all the benchmarks, that we be a certain kind of Christian. Over and over again, what Jesus offers is not a test, but an invitation. And invitations don't have a right or wrong answer or grade attached. They simply require that we show up. As Kathleen talked, I started to wonder, what if I just responded to Jesus's invitation to follow him? What if I just showed up? And what if I did so with wonder and curiosity about what we would discover in our journey together? What if I said yes with a sense of adventure? This year for our Lenten study series, which starts in just a few weeks, we're going to watch the first season of the TV series The Chosen together. It follows the disciples as they make the decision to join Jesus on his ministry or not, and what it is like to live a life that is unpredictable, yet profoundly worthwhile. You'll learn more about the Lenten study series in the February Spire next week, but suffice it to say that the show really makes the stories of the gospel come alive. I've talked about a few of the episodes before. The first one that I wanted to discuss this morning is the first episode about Mary Magdalene. When she encounters Jesus, it's a transformative moment. He sees her traumatic past and the wounds that she carries around like a heavy burden, and he loves her deeply, fully. She sees in that love a welcoming of all of her, even the places she thinks are unlovable. And so in that love, she sees a place to begin to heal. In the best possible way, she knows she will never be the same. So she leaves her life behind and follows him. Following him becomes an adventure, one where she doesn't know what will happen, but the uncertainty isn't anxiety or worry so much. It's like a child's excited anticipation for what will come next in a parade. Because every twist and turn teaches her something new about Jesus, about God's love, about being more fully herself, more fully human. By contrast, I've already talked about the episode where Simon decides to follow Jesus. You might remember that I preached about it last fall when we were covering this same scripture, more focusing on the moment where Simon realizes that the miracle Jesus has performed of all these fish sinking the boats will pay off his tax debt, and he responds that he just isn't even worthy to be in Jesus' presence. So cracked open in vulnerability, when Jesus asks him to follow, Simon says yes. But they haven't been on the road that long when it becomes clear that Simon still wants some control. He wants to know what the plan is, and often, like this morning when he says, you know, Jesus, we've been out all night already. I don't think this is going to work. Often he thinks he knows better than Jesus what to do next. While he clearly loves Jesus, he has a little more trouble trusting him and trusting that he, Simon, could be enough just as he is instead of trying to earn Jesus's love by having the right answer or having everything figured out. Which one are you? Are you Mary Magdalene, ready to trust and follow with an open heart? Or are you Simon, still measuring things by your old scorecard, trying to keep some control, figuring that Jesus means well when he talks about God's grace, but that surely what really matters is how good we are at this whole faith thing? Maybe you're like me, trying to shift from one to the other, but still missing the mark on a regular basis. That is a shift that I have had to learn over and over and over again. This week, I was reminded that someone in our congregation had a family member with a medical issue, and I immediately felt badly that I hadn't already reached out to that person. Oh, I was not doing a good job of being a caring person. But before I could berate myself further, I decided to stop, take a breath, and listen to what the Spirit was saying. Spoiler alert, the Spirit in my experience is like Jesus in that she also has no time for shaming me when I miss the mark. Instead, she had an invitation for me. Why don't you call this person? Yes, now. Now would be a good time. So I did, and even though I was sure I'd just be leaving a voicemail because this person was likely to be at work, but in a moment of serendipity, might even call it a moment of adventure, it turned out that that person just happened to be on break and had time to tell me how everyone was holding up and what they were most worried about, and we were able to pray together in a powerful and life-giving way that touched and uplifted both of us. And I'll tell you what, it is like that every single time. Every time I decide to say yes to the adventure, to trusting Jesus and following him into transcendent experiences or even hard conversations I don't want to have, or into seeing the beauty and joy and peace of an everyday moment instead of the frustration or dullness of it. Friends, the good news is whether you are a Mary or a Simon or somewhere in between, Jesus calls both of them as disciples, just as they are. Because it turns out it takes all kinds to make followers of Jesus. And that includes us, wherever we are on the continuum between wanting to whittle the vastness of divine love down to earning God's approval, following those rules, and between that and an open, trusting, adventurous heart. And that means that each day, each moment, we get a chance to respond anew to Jesus's invitation to follow him and see what delightful, surprising, challenging, grace-filled thing he might be getting up to, and to join in the adventure. Amen. Maybe the way that you've heard the scripture about Jesus calling the fishermen to come and fish for people, maybe the way that you've heard it before or in growing up has been about evangelism or fishing and catching enough people, converting them to the right way of seeing things. I hope you can tell from the fact that I've preached twice on this in the last year and have not gone anywhere near that, that that's not how I see this. But I think there's something to be said for thinking about how when we can embrace that sense of adventure, that it invites others to do so too. It kind of catches them up in that net without us having to do any coercion or any persuasion or manipulation, that when we are living the adventure of following Jesus with delight and openness and joy as best we can, that others get caught up in that excitement and also that they feel that welcoming, healing love of Jesus that we are living into. That's what it's all about, friends. So as you go out into this world and into this week, I invite you to say yes to the adventure and see if, when you're able to do so along the way, whether others might join you as well. Go in peace, or stay in peace for coffee hour.